Time now to speak to our legend of the game, and he is one of the hard men in the game of rugby league during the 90s and the early 2000s.
You would have played against him, Jim?
Played against him a lot. He was a young forward coming through and stamped himself as a player of real class. Mm. Represented New South Wales, represented Australia, a couple of famous moments in grand finals. And now, Raymond, would you believe that he is writing and producing motion picture movies?
How do you do that?
I don't know. Why don't we ask him? Jason Stevens on the line. G'day, Jason.
G'day, boys.
Good morning, Jason.
That was a lovely intro. When you said hard man of the game, I was thinking, oh, I don't think they're interviewing Gordon Tallis. You know, it's me.
Yeah, but you beat Gordon Tallis in a... didn't you beat him in a wrestle in your room at one stage when you were...
We did have a... I don't know if I beat him. He clocked me. He got me good on the nose. But I'll be happy with a draw.
And why did he do that, Jason?
Well, the thing was, he was homesick, and we were playing Brisbane, and with Saints, I was playing with Saints, and we were up there, and his mum came and dropped all these chocolate Easter eggs, and you know, he really missed home, Gordon, and he was down, he went for a walk, he missed his mum, he was spewing about that. But then I said, oh, Gordy, your mum dropped your Easter eggs off, and then when he went to open them up, it was just all toilet paper stuffed in them because I ate them. And he didn't. And there was six of them. And you think I would have left him one genuine one, but it was more the fact that his mum came and brought them. And, you know, like, it was just one of those things where Gordy...
it was game on, Jason.
He didn't see the humour in it, which I totally understand.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Hey, mate, how did it happen? How did rugby league become a part of your life?
Rugby league, well, really, I was playing soccer. I grew up playing soccer more than league. I played my first game of league at 14.
Wow.
So I was it was a mate of school, one of my best mates, Dave LaRusso, at school. He said to me, mate, you've got to come play for Brighton Seagulls. And he said, you're too big. You're too big to play soccer. Because they'd leave me in as a goalie, but I took up most of the goals because I was quite a wide lad. But yeah, well, there wasn't much action happening there for me. So it was there that I met Harry Eason, who Harry played with Bob McCarthy in that era at South and also at Saints, and he really took me under his wing and mentored me, became my manager in the end, and helped me get my first scholarship at St. George.
Well, you must have been a fast learner, Jason, because you ended up playing first grade whilst you were still in your teenage years. How did you adapt and how did you adapt so quickly to the physicality of the game, and did you feel at home when you did make that first grade debut? Could you handle that physicality?
It was demanding because you had a lot of the old school players still in the but the pace was hard for me. So I was very fortunate. Brian Smith sort of, he blooded me, really. He gave me bits and pieces and Before I played sort of full seasons of first grade, but it was really, he believed in me and gave me an opportunity and saw something there, but maybe before I was even ready, to be honest with you. But I was surrounded by a very good forward pack. I had Wayne Collins and Tony Priddle was playing, so we're Scotty Goulet, Dave Barnhill, Brad McKay, Jeff Hardy. I had these really, Phil Blake, had all these experience, but you know, around me, and they really helped me. We had a great captain, Mark Coyne, and so we really had a strong St. George side. So me coming in as a young, inexperienced bloke, it made it easier.
Mm. A couple of games for you in 92, and then 93 is your breakout season, and you play pretty regularly in the top grade side on that occasion. The grand final is famous for a lot of reasons. It was Brisbane going back to back, and no team's been able to do that. They did it from fifth position as well, but I think it was second tackle of the game. You go for the big hit on Glenn Lazarus and you reel out of the tackle and your game's over. Can you take us through those moments when you're looking at your thumb? I think it was a compound fracture.
Yeah.
And the impact that it had on you, and you think the impact that it had on the team that day.
Yeah, well, it was... you're right, it was second tackle, it was 40 seconds in, and me and Dave Barnhill, actually, we picked up Lazo and drove him back, and it was just one of those ones where I swung, unfortunately, a little bit high and connected him right in the the Temple, and I remember just I don't know why, but I just, you know, played on, didn't know anything. The next tackle, I started limping. I don't know why I started limping. And then I looked at my hand. There was nothing wrong with my hand. I just went into a shock, to be honest. I went into a shock, and because I could see the bone like protruding right out, and you know, they took me off straight away, and basically the doctor, Martin Rafter, you know, they called for an ambulance, and I went straight and had microsurgery because it was that bad. It was only holding on by the skin, to be honest.
Wow.
So it was a pretty bad one, and then. Mark Coyne in that first 15 minutes pulled his quad as well, which was a he played the rest of the game, but he had a torn quad. Yeah. So it was just one of those days, you know. We were going in favourites, to be honest with you. We were playing well leading into that, you know, and oh mate, it was just one of those days. And I remember Phil Blake came and saw me in hospital the next day. And I remember I said to him naively, I said, oh, mate, don't worry, there'll be another one next year. And he goes, yeah, he goes, I said that. And this is the last, this is the, he played a grand final when he was very, very young with Manly.
Yes.
Para. And this was only his next one, which was at the end of his career. So you can't take anything for granted. You know, you don't know when your next one will be, because you sort of don't realise how hard it is to get to a grand final when you're sort of young and it happens straight away.
Mm.
Well, Jason, we've had legends on before who talk about not only the elation if they win a grand final, but the utter disappointment when they lose one.
Mm.
In your situation, that was compounded, if I can use that word, because of your thumb injury. How did you reconcile what would have been a magic moment in your career ending so quickly, and then obviously the devastation of the loss as well?
Well, you know what added to that was the fact that I had the surgery, and I woke up like real sort of, you know, you're out of it. And I saw Brad McKay getting the Clive Churchill medal. So my first thoughts were actually we won the grand final. Because he was the second player in history to do it. That's from right. A losing side. I think it was Brad Clive was the other one. So that was even worse because I was dazed, and I was like, oh, did we win? I think we won. It was, but then my brother came in and he assured me we had lost. But I don't know. It was I think being young, sort of, and not knowing fully what it takes to get to a grand final, meant I could recover sort of quicker from it. I was still plenty of energy, plenty of enthusiasm. Obviously, you're only starting out in the game. It may have been a different story if it was at a later stage of my career, but I still knew I had to, you know, hopefully I was, you know, a lot of footy ahead of me, and so you know, and things progressed for me as a player after that, but still I look back at it now, to be honest with you, and every grand final I still have a moment where I think of it. I still think of it as a massive lost opportunity. But it was out of my hands, you know. There was not much we could do there. So you know, there's when injury happens, and just a part of life. I'm still thankful that I got to meet Tina Turner before it, and
it's the little things, Jason,
yeah,
exactly. Isn't it?
It's an important thing.
Anyway.
I was such a cocky bloke, mate. When I met her, I remember I turned to Wayne Collins and I said, yeah, I think she's got a thing for me. And,
Jimmy says that all the time when he talks about his. I love it.
Jason, 1997, you make the change. You go to little brother from the Dragons to the Sharks, and it just smells like you've signed a massive Super League deal. Is that right?
Yeah, I signed a good Super League deal. It was good. It was nice to be wanted. By sort of both sort of clubs, but by both sort of Super League and of course the ARL back in the day, so that put us in a good position. And the big thing for me was the fact that because I could have got the same sort of deal sort of both places pretty similar, but the big thing for me was Brian Smith was leaving St George. And, I he really helped me my whole, you know, in my career. And as a coach, I'd got a lot out of him. And that was probably more of an incentive because I went and met with Johnny Lang and I got to meet him and got to know him a little bit. And I just, you know, I thought I really want to, I think I could be a better footballer underneath him. So that was a big part of the move, because it's always hard moving from Saints to Cronulla. They were hated enemies.
Yeah.
Hated enemies. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you hated Cronulla.
Mm.
And I'm going there, and so much so that, I'm not kidding, that when I was a junior, like, I didn't even like coming to the Cronulla Beach because I felt like I was betraying St. George. it was a strange thing coming to Cronulla, you know, and but they warmed to me very quickly, and you know, it became home very quickly, actually.
Well, it was actually a great debut year at Cronulla because you made the grand final. Unfortunately, those bloody Broncos beat you again in the Super League grand final, but you earned your first honours for Australia. You played in all three tests in the Super League series that year, Jason, and gee, not many guys can say they make their international debut at Wembley.
Yeah, that was amazing. Mm. That was so good. I was, you know, to walk out there on the red carpet, and because I was an English soccer fan from young, and so, and also, like, I, you know, like, we had some very challenging circumstances growing up. My dad left when we were very young, and my sister was tragically hit by a car when she was very young, and my mum, you know, really was under the pump with rehabilitation. Mm. For her, it was extremely serious, and you know, but my mum always encouraged me with football, and my brother did as well, and Paul ended up playing a good stint in first grade as well. But we'd always get up to watch the test matches of Australia playing England.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'd get up, you know, because my heroes were Brett Kenny and Peter Sterling, and just watching them, like, at 3 a.m, it was just unbelievable. And then I had a bit of a moment there where they were about to kick off to me, and you know, I was about to receive the ball in Wembley, and I was like, oh man, I didn't want to get overwhelmed by the situation, but I was just like, I wonder what kids up, watching now, and it was me not so long ago up watching these people. So yeah, it was a very, very special thing to go to England, and I was able to tour there a number of times with the Aussie team. So it was special every single moment.
Absolutely. Oh, mate, you've taken us on a journey there. Mm. That's fantastic. Hey,
because my mum bought me. I tell you, she was strapped for cash. I tell you, she actually used to shop for herself at St. Binny's, and you know, she bought. But in the midst of that, she bought me an Aussie jersey. I still remember the store, Goodfellas. It was at. Mm. At Rockdale, and it was, yeah, they did factory seconds and everything.
Yep.
And then, you know, so for me to get my first Aussie jersey and give it back to her and say thank you was very special.
Amazing. Great story. Yeah. Hey, mate, we're getting pushed for time here, but we want to talk about how does a uncompromising, no-holds-barred front rower
be a story.
Become a writer / producer of motion pictures?
Oh, well, mate, well, thanks. Chasing Comets is a film. It's still out in various places. But, mate, a lot of grit and a lot of hard work, to be honest. And pretty much the same principles that, it took us to get there with football. You just apply it in a different field. And I started writing and doing screenwriting courses in 2006 and trying to earn my stripes and learn the craft. And I was naive once again, but I didn't realise it was going to take like 12 years to get a film up, and by industry terms, they tell me that's pretty quick. But yeah, I'm very excited. We made a fun film, you know. I drew on a lot of characters in the film for people I knew.
Yeah.
The colourful characters. There's a character in there played by Peter Phelps, Harry, who I'd mentioned before, I drew on one of the comments from Brian Smith he made after a game. It was a draw, and he said, "I'm not one for draws. It's like watching your mother-in-law drive off a cliff in your new car." And I remember Brian Smith said that. So I put that in the script. And I thought, Lee's got so many colourful, you know, characters.
Yeah.
I hope it translated to the screen, and by all reports, you know, people have had an enjoyable time watching it, so it's good.
Where do we go and see it, mate? Where can we go and watch Chasing Comets?
Well, it's been out for a bit over a week now, so I think it's only it's at Hoyt selected events. So then some independents as well, like Reading Cinema and stuff.
Yeah, right.
So if you check at your local store, even if you just Google it, and it'll come up where Chasing Comets is playing. But yeah, I appreciate it, because Aussie films are pretty hard to get up, and they're even harder to get a cinema run. So I'm very fortunate to Hoyt. They really believed in the film, and if people can get out, support it, it makes it all the worthwhile.
Fantastic. Well done, mate. Getting good reviews as well. So we encourage our listeners to get out and see that film. Appreciate your time this morning, Jace. Thanks very much for that, mate.
I just got to disclose, my mum wrote one of the reviews, so... You know.
That's all right. All the help you can get, Jason.
If you could get your mum to review this program as well, we'd appreciate that as well.
Will do.
Good on you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, boys.
There he is, Jason Stevens, New South Wales, Australia, Dragons and Sharks representative, now a writer/producer. So he's a slashy as well. Great to have him on the program.